If you are not prepared to be wrong, you will never come up with anything original. By Ken Robinson. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Expert Dales podcast to fulfill your mind with the virtues of life. I'm your host, Umang Panchal, inviting you to join us at Expert Dales podcast, where we meet some enormous personalities from the world and listen them to learn from their stories. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, to join us and follow us on various platforms. I appreciate your time and love for us. And thank you for joining us today. We are in episode number one, and today's episode, we are going to talk with a young, energetic personality from the Finland. He never thought his life could also get hard as hell when he invested all of his savings in his businesses and lost all of them with debts of thousands of dollars. Cruelty of corporate world attempted to demolish him with full of its rage. And he didn't fail in just a single business, but his failures continued with his all startups, and hence disappointment, anxiety, self-doubt and culpabilities buried him, and he fall into the deepest creek of the sorrowful ocean. But as Colin R. Davis says, the road to success and the road to failures are almost exactly the same. He turned back to his shattered home and committed that he will write his story with efforts and success, not with regrets and failures. He disappeared from the chaos of the society, and finally, he came out with the best ever version of his life and helps others from his unbelievable journey of self-upswinging. So with honor and gratitude, I would like to invite today's guest, young entrepreneur and coach, Luke Alexander, who discovered himself during his failures and found unique methods which helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams in their life. Welcome, Luke, for the first episode of Expert Dales podcast.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. This is awesome. I'm super excited to be here today.
Wonderful. So as I have seen from my life, I love to talk about different kind of stories to meet people and all the stuff. But I think we all have the stories from our childhood. But Luke, the story that you have about your life and relentless efforts to make you an enormous entrepreneur and coach is such an inspiring. So can you please lead us to that story and tell us that how did you find your life-changing ideas from your sequential failures?
All right, cool. So basically, I was always a normal kid. I just, you know, I played tennis and stuff like that, and that taught me a lot about competitiveness and stuff like that, and, you know, perseverance and everything. But essentially, my entrepreneurship journey started around maybe 5 years ago, and it all started by, you know, me reading books and, you know, having the dream of, you know, buying a Lamborghini Gallardo before high school ends. You know, plot twist, I did not get that, but it has been a nice journey from there. I started by, you know, reading a bunch of books like I Think and Grow Rich and Rich Dad Poor Dad, you know, those basic books everybody starts with. And then I started, you know, trying different kind of things online. Basically, I tried to start doing SEO, and because, you know, I started following Alex Becker and, you know, a bunch of other stuff. And I actually didn't just make almost any money. I did some SEO pages and I tried to rank them, didn't make any money there. I actually got my first sale online by ranking a YouTube video that was like doing, I did like SEO for YouTube videos and ranked a video, and then I got one affiliate sale, which, you know, it like that feeling was such a good feeling, and just like pretty much, you know, like confirmed to me that this is actually possible. And then tried doing, you know, drop shipping after that, tried to build an agency after that, did not work too well. And then I went to the military, and in military, I just, you know, it was a hard experience for me because I couldn't like spend the time type of time I wanted to on my businesses or anything like that. And what that led to was like a big depression for me. I lost control. I gained weight. I was like, because I always had trained like physically I wanted to be in shape, but in military I just lost it. I was just like way overweight, and it wasn't good for me, so I got depressed. And then what that then led me to do was to discover meditation and, you know, self-development on another level, which was great because that's where the new story of me basically starts, where, you know, I want to become a new version of me, because I realized that, you know, all of our, you know, business problems are just personal problems that are manifesting in the business. And what that led to me doing was just figuring out who I needed to become in order to reach my goals, and then working on becoming that person. And that's like the rest is history, because that's what can, you know, it's been a long, how is it, like almost 2 years now. And, you know, it's been amazing.
Okay, so your story sounds like interesting, because you have started your business and you failed in it, and then you joined military, but it didn't work for you. But during that kind of hustling time, you found your meditation, you found the thing that can help you to grow and to work beyond your limits.
Yeah, exactly. And to clarify, military here in Finland, it's compulsory, which means that you have to go there no matter who you are. If you're a man and you're like basic fit, so that you don't have any diseases, any bad diseases or anything like that, then you have to go there. And that's why I didn't like it that much, and I had the wrong mindset there, and it just destroyed me. I got depressed and stuff like that. So yeah,
I got two amazing things from your answer. The first one is the military training is compulsory in Finland, and facing uncomfortable situation continuously made you to think more about yourself and move you towards your own identity. I also found that you try to grow, or I can say overcome, the uncomfortable situation continuously, and that changed your mindset towards relentless growth. So I would like to say, what do you really think about that growth mindset that you had or you developed? And please elaborate it, that how can we adopt in our routine life?
Yeah, man, it's amazing. Like, growth mindset is basically the key to a lot of things, because if you have truly adopted in your mind, then, you know, nothing's gonna be like too much of a stretch for you. You can pretty much like achieve anything by learning and, you know, developing yourself. But if it's okay for you, I would like to like point out a little problem that I have with mindsets, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure.
So the problem with mindset is that basically someone that they think people think that often think that they have adopted a new mindset, but in reality they have not, because mindsets are basically just, you know, they are set of attitudes / beliefs towards, you know, something, some one area. So for example, growth mindset, most people think that they have a growth mindset, but in reality they don't, because here's why actually. So people usually work on an unconscious level most of the time, if they haven't woken up yet. So since they are working on an unconscious level, what happens most of the time is that even though they think they have a certain mindset, they're behavior actually don't reflect that, which means that if they, for example, say they have a growth mindset, but it's not ingrained in their, like, deep inside of their subconscious mind, then what happens is that they don't actually act, you know, in a way that, like, allows them to develop that well, unless they have, like, they really have to, you know, adopt a mindset on a deep level for it to work, because most people think it's just that you need to think about this a certain way, but it's not that. It's usually a lot more than that. You need to have it deep inside of you if you want it to work. So growth mindset, definitely very, very important to adopt. And it's one of those mindsets that's basically easier to adopt. But here's an example. For example, there's a person that thinks they have a growth mindset, but late at night when they are tired and when they are like ready to go to bed, they pick up their laptop and start watching Netflix. But someone who has a growth mindset really usually would rather actually think about something that they could learn that day and that night, and then go and pursue learning that thing instead of watching Netflix. So that's an example of like unconscious behavior that really shows if you really have a mindset or if you don't have the mindset like deep inside of you.
So you want to say that the growth mindset comes when you have your full of instinct to do anything from your heart, from the depth of your heart, not just for the sake of the word.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's basically what I mean. I mean, that applies to every mindset, but growth mindset is a good example of that. Just like I gave the Netflix one. Some people think they have a growth mindset, but they don't act like they have a growth mindset. They just go watch Netflix instead of learning some stuff, for example, if you get what I'm saying here.
I understand. Like, many people read books before going to sleep. Perfect. It's awesome and surprisingly that most of the people are doing the same thing that what you have said. And that's why my second question is important, because I have seen that many of the people always set their goals under some circumstances, and mostly about money and materialistic things, not for the knowledge, not for the new skills. And they might have to understand that goal setting is far more important than that, not only for money, but moreover, the overall look for the life. And hence, we want to know from you that what are the important key points that we need to keep in our mind while defining goals?
Yeah, so for me personally, one of the biggest problems that I had, just like I told you earlier, was when I started doing all this entrepreneurship stuff, I basically had the goal of, you know, getting a Lambo someday. Mm-hmm. And that's not specific. That's not like, it's not going to lead anywhere because of that. You need specificity, which is like super, super important, you know, clarity on your goals. And, you know, for me, I personally have to set a lot of goals because, you know, and it's the same thing for, I've noticed other people have as well, but, for goals, I basically have a, you know, a vision, which is not like a goal of like, you know, 5 years. It's something around, like, it's a bigger mm-hmm. vision of my life, what I want to do. And that's like the bigger goal that I have. Then I also have a yearly goal, and I always set like monthly goals, weekly goals, and daily goals of, you know, different caliber, of course, but, you know, yearly goals are more like outcome focused, you know, if I want to get to like 100k month with my business. And, you know, my monthly goals are more like project focused, like for example, build this funnel and get to this revenue mark. That's like, you know, project focused. And then weekly goals are more task focused. And days are as well. Like, for example, my weekly goals would be to design and build this page, for example. And then my daily goals would be like specific, you know, parts of the page, for example. So I have daily goals that I set every week, and then I have, or every Sunday actually, and then I always, on Sundays, I just go through what I've done that week, what worked and what didn't. And then I adapt for the next week. So yeah, that was a bit of a longer explanation for that. But I set a lot of goals personally. And those are daily goals, weekly goals, mm-hmm. monthly goals, and then yearly goals. And then I have my bigger vision for the future, which is around 5 years.
Okay. So if I'm understanding the right thing from your talk, it's about to decide your broad vision for like 5 or 10 years. And then break it into yearly, monthly, weekly, and daily goals.
Yeah, something like that. And also, I would like to add one more thing to this, which is that I also, in terms of monthly goals, I have also an identity goal, which means like, who do I need to become? What are the skills I'm developing in terms of who I am in the next month, and how I'm planning to develop those skills? So it's not just the business goals, but also having a goal of the goal identity that you're trying to reach, which is super important. It's like what I missed like for the first 4 years, and it's basically what allowed me to, you know, start getting results essentially.
So it sounds like you created a feedback or a review system that can help you to check your progress.
Yeah, exactly. I do. I have deeper reviews each Sunday, and then I do the same thing every month. But monthly reviews are a lot more in depth, where I go through like what I've learned, you know, the biggest concepts and how that works. So yeah, I check myself every single week and every single month, and also do little checkups every single day. But weekly and monthly are the bigger ones that are super important to have. So you need to check up on what you're doing, how you're developing, and how your business is developing each and every week and each and every month.
I personally believe that to create a review system for yourself can make you more aligned towards your goal. I have read one fantastic quote somewhere that success is the sum of small efforts repeated day in and day out. It clearly points toward the habit that created by us. And I'm sure that the most of the people are struggling to get rid of that bad habits of not following their schedule. And but they want more alignment towards their good ones, the good habits. But most of the time they face failures. And as Abraham Lincoln said, discipline is choosing between what you want now and what you want most. So so my question is, what are the concrete steps that you want to suggest embarking the disciplines for good habits?
Well, so the steps to know, you know, creating a new habit, for me personally, I've adopted this from numerous different books and, you know, personal experience of what works for me. But basically, I think the most important things when building new habits are basically just, you know, aligning the habit with the goal you've set already, as well as the goal identity, which means that the habit that you're doing actually is something that the new version of you is doing, so that you have like personal accountability that way. So basically, for example, if you would say that you want to become healthier and you want to, you know, start working out. So basically what I would say you should do is basically have it as, you know, a goal, as a part of your goal identity to be fit. And then, you know, bind that, you know, the new habit to it, the new habit of working out to, you know, becoming that, you know, better version of yourself. And that's like the first tip, is to like get clear on, you know, what the habit is and how it aligns with the goals that you have. Then for me personally, a big key to, you know, sticking to habits is basically, depending on what kind of habit it is, if it's a small one, is it like something, a question you ask from yourself, or is it just like something you should do every day? What the number one thing that helps you stick to it is basically adding reminders or triggers, depending on what type of habit you have. So basically what triggers are basically things you do that cause you to think about something else. For example, if I would have, this is a stupid example, but if I would have, I would like to develop the habit of checking my watch to see the time, then I could, for example, every time I go through a doorway, I could just like look at my watch and then check out the time and then think to myself what time it is. And then every time, once I've done this enough times, then basically it becomes a habit. So every time I walk through the door, I check the time. This is a stupid example, but it's just like, for example, you could like apply this to, you know, becoming, you know, maybe attaching some kind of gratitude question of what am I grateful for each time you step in through a door, or sit down, or stand up, anything like that, or pick up your phone. Those are good triggers. And also, if you want to, for example, drink a glass of water, you want to drink more water, you could add reminders to your phone. For example, like 9 a.m., one reminder of drinking a glass of water, then 1 p.m., a reminder to drink a glass of water, and then 7 p.m., drink a glass of water. And what that allows you to do is basically just forget about it, and then you're going to get reminded to do the thing that you should do. And then what then happens is you start doing that over and over again, and it becomes a habit. And then the, you know, one more key that I would like to add here is what's called subjective insertion, which basically means confirming that you are indeed developing a new habit in this case. So for example, drinking a glass of water, every time you drank a glass of water, you want to think to yourself, I am truly becoming more healthy by drinking this glass of water. And once you do that, you get a dopamine spike, and that allows your body or your mind to actually start enjoying the thing of the drinking of the glass of water, and also strengthening your beliefs in yourself of becoming healthier, which then leads to more, you know, healthy stuff, essentially, by like just automatically, because your subconscious thinks you are healthy, and then you're going to start doing more healthy stuff. So that's one more key that I would like to add there. Every time you do fulfill on the habit, which should be every time you think to yourself, I'm developing this habit, or, you know, I am becoming that person because I'm doing this. And, you know, that's a big key for me personally. So those three things I would like to say are, you know, the keys: aligning the habit with the goal, then, you know, setting reminders or triggers depending on what type of goal it is, and then subjective insertion to affirm the goal or the habit and make sure it's a part of you. This is, like, personally for me, it's the best way to do it.
Oh, the example that you give, they are very simple. So the people listening us, they easily adopt that. And I like that. I don't want to go for the big, huge example that people cannot understand, but it's a simple example that we are doing in a routine life. And that's what I want from you. And it's phenomenal. I like this point from your talk that we need to be happy and feel good about what we are doing as a habit.
Yeah, exactly. And you'll feel good about it. You'll feel very good about it when you, like, consciously feel good about doing something, or, you know, developing a habit, that your brain starts to, like, crave doing that habit again. So it's amazing.
Wow. Phenomenal talking is happening now. And it's interesting that I'm learning a lot more stuff than any normal conversation. And as you say that you have experiences of failures, and you defeat that failures and define your path towards your highest altitude. So what are the different aspects, or I can say the different way by which we can navigate our life?
If you want to, like, for you to start, like, going to a direction, you want to, for example, reach a goal or anything you want, you know, the key concept to navigating through life is basically waking up. This means being aware of your surroundings and being aware of your thoughts on another level. This is called metacognition, which means that you kind of, like, detach yourself from your mind and detach yourself from the environments, and you are living in now. You're living in the present moment. This is, like, mindfulness, kind of. That's the number one key to, like, starting to navigate through life in, you know, any circumstances. This allows you to, if you're aware of your mind, what's going on inside your mind, your thoughts and your emotions, and you don't let them control you, then you have unlocked the key to basically anything in life. Because if you are not living by your subconscious conditioning, then you can actually make the choices of each and every action you're taking. And if those actions align with the goals that you have set, then what happens is that you're automatically going to be so much faster, or you're going to reach your goal so much faster, because you're not wasting your time doing stuff that doesn't matter, because you can always check up on you. And if your actions are actually aligned with the goal that you've set. So the number one key is to wake up, which is waking up from your mind and your emotions, you know, noticing that, or becoming aware that your thoughts, that you are not your thoughts and you are not your emotions. And once you can do that, then you can, you know, steer your life to whatever you want. So that's basically how I would say that's the best way to navigate through your life, developing this skill of seeing your thoughts and seeing your emotions from a third person perspective, and realizing that you are not your mind, you are not your thoughts.
Okay, so it's the concept of contemplating that you are watching yourself as a third person. Wow. And you are seeing that you become the judge of yourself and decide what the actions you are doing is, whether they are aligned to your goal or not. Now, the question that I'm asking you right now is related to the previous one, that and this is the question from the young generation like us, and it's the burning question, as per my opinion, not only from my family and relatives, but from my friends, and even their parents were also asking the same question, that that what are the strategies to avoid distractions from the social media, but though not getting detached from the social life?
Well, personally, and for my students, what mm-hmm. I've learned is that it's not as hard as you might think. Well, the first thing that, you know, this is not just like, not just to be distracted, but yeah, but what I mean is here is that this not only will help you work more on your goals, but it's going to make you more happy as well. But what you're going to do essentially is this. You basically start limiting your social media usage, whether it's, you know, Instagram, deleting the app, or Facebook, deleting the app, or, you know, if you're really dependent on like Snapchat. What I've done and what my students have done, what works so well right now, is basically setting up these app block. If you have an Android phone, you can set up an app called App Blocker, or if you have an Apple phone, you can use the what is it called, the screen time limit thing inside the phone to actually limit your app usage depending on what type of day it is. So basically, you're going to get so much more done if you don't have access to your phone. And this is basically because if you raise the level of, if you make it harder for you to actually go ahead and open an app, it's going to be so much more easier for you to remain or have your attention in what you should do instead of like getting distracted. So for example, me personally, I had a big problem with Snapchat. So what I basically did was I didn't remove Snapchat, but what I did was I set up a limit on my phone that allowed me to use it only 15 minutes a day and only after 3 p.m., which meant that before 3 p.m., I didn't get to use it at all, which then meant that I had so much more time to focus on doing my work and doing my learning and stuff like that. So also, you know, it's one thing I've noticed that's like a big problem with people is that once they pick up their phone, for example, and start open up YouTube, for example, that could be a big problem for you. Mm-hmm. If you open up YouTube once a day, or not once a day, but the first time you open up YouTube, it's going to be like exponentially harder for you to get back to work and focus on that if you opened your phone on YouTube one time earlier that day. So the number one key personally that I would say for entrepreneurs especially is to keep your phone away. Just when you wake up, have it on airplane mode and do not open those apps. Do not do that, because the first time you open those apps, it's going to be so much harder for you to get back to focused learning and working. So basically just setting those limiters on your phone, as well as keeping your phone away when you're doing important stuff. And essentially, if you can, it's easier if you start the morning without the phone and then just, you know, open it up once you're done with the work of the day, the major, you know, the biggest stuff of the day, because then it's going to be so much more easier for you to focus on work instead of having distractions like your phone. But, and also one more thing that I would like to add is that you always think that you need these apps when in reality you don't. For example, for me, I always noticed that I was unnecessarily much scrolling through Instagram. And what I did was just delete Instagram all at once. And the funny thing that happened was I thought that it was going to be like, I'm going to miss out on everything. But what really happened was I just had like so much more time to do the things that I want to do, like study and work. So, you know, the easiest and the best way for you to avoid distractions when you're doing work or whatever is to like make it super hard for you to actually get distracted. Get the phone, put it in a drawer somewhere in airplane mode if you can, and then just avoid distractions all at once. Because if you just let those distractions come to you too easily, then it's going to be super hard for you to focus. So the best and the easiest way is to just try to limit those things as much as you can by making it hard for you to open up those apps or, you know, start watching those YouTube videos or whatever. Just keep the phone away when you're doing the work and when you're doing important stuff. That's the number one key, and it's super easy to do and it works like magic.
Perfect. So if you feel that you are becoming the victim of such social media app, then apply the time limit for using such applications. Try morning routines without social media, and don't forget You are just thinking that it's important for you, but in real, it's not. Now we are moving towards the rapid question and answering sessions where I will ask you a short questions and need some easy and quick answers from you. Okay.
Okay.
So the first question is, what is your morning routine?
Okay. So my morning routine is like this. So I wake up, I do some visualization in the bed because it's easy to visualize when you're just waking up because you can see more vividly because your brain is still in the alpha state. So I start visualizing my goals. Then the next thing I do is get up, go brush my teeth, and then hit a cold shower for a few minutes to wake my body up and get started. Because this is something that, you know, it feels bad at first, but once you get to doing it as a habit, it's super cool. Then what I do is take a glass of water, take some vitamins, then I go to my computer, look at my vision board as well as my achievement board, and then I look at my daily and weekly goals, what I've set for myself. Then what I do is I write down the three core feelings that I want to have that day, the three core feelings that I want to apply to every single situation I go into. Then what I do is I take my morning coffee and do 30 minutes of studying something specific that I've decided to study the previous day. Then I spend around an hour a day just, you know, thinking and analyzing my own behavior, but that's not part of the morning, but that's something that's very, very important. So basically from waking up until I've done my studying, that's my morning routine.
Perfect. The second question is, how much time do you spend to sleep?
I basically, personally, I like to sleep a lot. I've noticed that for me, you know, 7.5 hours most of the time ain't gonna cut it. So I basically just go to bed early and wake up early. I don't set alarms anymore because I've noticed that it just breaks up my sleeping patterns and it's not good. So I sleep around 8 to 9 hours each night.
Okay. So do you have some specific time, like that is the time, like 10 to 7 or 11 to 5 or something? So that is the particular time in which you can get easily sleep and as well you can wake up without any alarms.
Yeah. So basically for me to get sleeping, I like to go to bed quite like late in terms of like what some entrepreneurs are doing. I go to bed around 11 and that's like where I get to, you know, get a good enough sleep. And then I wake up at 7:30 to 8 o'clock. So I don't have any crazy schedules as of right now. I might do some later and test how that works, but you know, going to bed around 11 PM and then waking up at around 7 to 8 AM.
Okay. Got your point. Now this question is about, what is your favorite book and favorite author? You can take some time for these things.
Well, my favorite book and favorite author, for me personally, this is going to be a hard question to answer. I like Vadim Zeeland a lot and his book, Tufty the Priestess. That's one of my favorite books for sure. And then also I like Atomic Habits. And then also Viktor Frankl, I think, wrote the book Man's Search for Meaning. Those are good books that I've loved a lot. But the thing is that I've read so many books that personally, what happens most of the time is that I open up a book and start reading it. But then I realize that the book is repeating something that I've already learned. And it's kind of like it gets to an annoying point because I've read so many books and taken so much notes on them. But for me personally, I can't remember too many of the actual names of the books. But I can just, if you want, I can check through my list here if I could find some good books here. Well, How to Win Friends and Influence People is a good one. I also like Psycho Cybernetics. That's a good one. Then also one good is 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Those are good books in my opinion.
I like the point that you have said to note down the important points from the books.
Yeah, exactly. Just write down the stuff that actually seems important or what you actually like learn from the book. Write those down. And the even more important thing, in my opinion, is after you've written those down, start doing those things, start applying those things and testing them out. If you just random them down somewhere, it's going to make, it's going to be better because you might remember it at some point and try it. But the key is to not only take action on it, but take conscious action on it. Decide that you are going to try this new thing. Try to, for example, start waking up, start doing this and that. That's like the important thing is to write down and then start trying and testing those things that you've learned, because otherwise it's useless. Otherwise you're wasting your time reading those books.
I got your point. And that's the really important thing that you have said, because I can see your scheduling, and that scheduling, I can relate to the book with the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People when Stephen Covey explain how to make a schedule so that you can achieve your goals. And I really admire for that things to you.
Thank you.
The last question is like, what is your ultimate goal in your life? Or I can say how you want to help the world by yourself.
Well, my ultimate goal is to help as many people as I can during this process. I'm not one of those people that sets like an insanely big goal, like help a billion people, because that's not essentially what aligns with my values as of right now. But my goal is to leave a good, like help as many people as I can to maximize their potential with in terms of business and, you know, life, happiness, enjoyment, all of that stuff. And then build a good life for me, myself and my family and people around me as well. Those are my biggest, you know, drivers right now.
It's really inspiring that to help others and simultaneously grow more, to help more people and to make a better world for tomorrow. I would like to say it's such an interesting and inspiring goal for yourself. Don't forget to subscribe us at ExpertDel blogs and Facebook page so that you can get the key points of today's conversation as PDF. Also, subscribe us on Spotify, Google, and Apple Podcasts. We are also available at Podchaser, Breakers, Pocket Cast, and also YouTube. Go ahead and check the links in the description. So here we are going to end our session for today, but I can say that it was fabulous, interesting, knowledgeable, and inspiring talk with you, Lou. Yeah, it blew my mind to listen your experiences and your words acts like the powerhouse for many people and entrepreneurs to take risks and fearless while they are working on their dreams. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for making this possible. It's been awesome.